She will say that you are the same Lord who is lying during the Pralaya time on a Vatapatra. So in this way, this confirmation you will find in the Shastras. In different places, similar confirmation is made about Krishna. So she is saying, Svabhritya means for his own devotees, what does the Lord do? Samsara taro, taru means tree. Svabhritya samsara taro kutharam. My dear Lord, you become an axe for your devotees, helping them to cut down this upside down tree and go up to the spiritual sky. So Lord Krishna gives that axe knowledge in Bhagavad Gita. Knowledge of the axe with which we can cut the material ball. Another example she also gives, she says that Dushpara Sadhya Paragham. You are actually, yeah, Paragham means a boat with which to cross over this ocean of samsara, this ocean of material existence. So you are like a very nice safe boat. Once you get into the boat, you will be taken to the other side very safely and will not be drowned. So the material world is compared to a great ocean. And the Shastric analogies are very perfect, because in an ocean, one doesn't see any end. Although there is an end to the ocean. There is this side bank and that side bank also. And in between we are in the ocean. But it appears there is no end. And the living being is taking birth and again dying, again taking birth and dying. It appears like it's like endless cycle of birth and death. But there is an end to it. So the living entity suffers in this world. So that's why this is compared to samsara, sagar, it is said. Another reason this world is compared to sagar is because there are waves which keep coming and battering the living entity, and there is no peace of mind. Imagine if the ocean were to be very calm, cool and collected, one can be peaceful. But anytime there is a storm and anytime there are waves, huge waves coming and battering. Similarly, many people think that if I solve these 3-4 problems, then I'll be peaceful. They generally make notes, maybe to-do list. You make 3, 4, 5 items. If I do these things today, tomorrow I'll be free. Tomorrow you find some more items come, isn't it? And some unexpected items also come. Like somebody is thinking, oh, this month in our home the expenditure was too much. Somehow some guests came, you know. We had to go for yatra also, big money was spent. So let us, hopefully we will be able to save money in the coming month. Suddenly you are walking in the road, tuck, you hit your foot against a stone or something and starts bleeding. Immediately run to hospital, 3,000 rupees bill. Sometimes. So, in this way, in this world, in an unexpected way, the problems keep coming in this world. There are expected problems, anticipated. Some are unanticipated also, suddenly. Generally, when people get health issues nowadays, they are very fearful, because the doctors are very eagerly waiting with their pens and papers. They give big bills. Isn't it? So, that is why this world is compared to waves. Because the problems are not one or two, they are multiple. They keep coming, one after another. You keep solving and they keep coming. More and more, day after day. It can be a health issue. Otherwise, there is there are financial crunches in families. Somebody has taken a big loan. That is like a big stone on the head. When will I keep it down? One feels sometimes after 15, 20 years of payment for a flat, then they feel, at last this flat is mine now. I own it now. But till then, it is like a big burden on the head. You can ask, brahmacharis cannot realize it. They have a beautiful temple, they can chant and dance. But grihasthas can ask, they will know. Similarly, sometimes academic problems. Children are growing up and they are not studying well. The parents are in tremendous anxiety. They always tell the children, look at your neighbor, how he is cracking. You won't get any job if you don't study well. They have to push the children a lot. So the children sometimes take very casually. Actually, generally people become more responsible after they grow up. After they take a job. Like, one boy was telling, in my college days, I got only a second class. If only I got a first class, I can get into in a teaching line. But in college days, he got only second class. He couldn't. Now he is thinking how nice it would have been if I got a first class. So parents are also very worried about their children's academics. So in this way, there are health issues, academic issues, financial issues, and unexpected accidents in this world. This world is full of uncertainties. What will happen when, to whom, nobody can say. Anything can happen to anybody, anytime. And because of that uncertainty, it causes anxiety and fear also. Not only this world is uncertain, it is also uncontrollable also. The control is not in our hands. Handle is not in our hands. If all the control is in our hands, probably we may not have so much anxiety. Something went wrong, immediately set it right. It is uncertain also and uncontrollable also. This way, that is why this world is compared to waves. And to take to spiritual life in such a world of waves requires sufficient amount of thirst for liberation. If we don't have sufficient inconvenience we face from the material world and we want to get rid of it, and if we don't have sufficient spiritual interest, then we are very unlikely that we will take to spiritual life seriously. Both are necessary. One is the material world is posing some inconvenience, like somebody gets terrible sickness or somebody gets terrible failures. Like in one company they are fired, in another company they are fired, they are jobless, they run from pillar to post, and the material situations are terrible for some people. Somebody has four sisters to get married, and father is bedridden, and mother is dead and gone in certain families. So when people face terrible situations, they have nowhere to go, and if they have done some piety, they run to the feet of Krishna. The past, they have some bhakti, sukriti, they run to. So sometimes in the material world, one is able to experience what is inconvenience, what is suffering. But there also should be spiritual interest. So one should be able to see suffering in this world, and one should get tired of sense gratification in this world. So, Jai Shri Radha Kunja Bihari Ki Jai. Jai Shri Gaurinitai Ki. See, that is why when there is sufficient thirst for liberation, actually there is a desire for independence and desire for freedom in every living entity. You will see the scientists and scholars and literati and all these people, many times they want to show that they are independent. They don't depend on God. For example, they make some, like for example, you might have seen the chatai in which you are sitting now is a natural chatai. It's made from nature. But there is another chatai which comes made of polyvinyl, you know, which looks the same color. You know that? But what is the difference between the two? For experience and for watching, it's the same. But you sit in the other one, that will increase the heat of your body. Correct, no? It increases the heat in such a way that it is very unhealthy for the body. But this is very healthy. So scientists may be able to imitate nature, but then in the course of imitating and showing that we have also done something like what God has done, they only cause nuisance to others. You will see. Just like the bottle is brittle. Generally we keep water in a bottle. Sometimes it falls off and it breaks. And then you have to collect all the broken pieces. It's a little risky. So scientists thought, let us make Bisleri bottles which are very convenient. You can bend it also. It's very flexible. So it appears very wonderful. But in Bisleri bottle, you keep water for 6 months, it becomes poisonous. You know that? If somebody forgetfully drinks water kept for more than 6 months in a water Bisleri casing, it can become deadly. They can get deadly diseases. Whereas in a brittle bottle, you can keep for years together. Nothing happens. You see, what God has created in nature, man tries to imitate. Why he wants to imitate? Because he wants to show that I can do something what God, you know, what not only God can do, but I can also do also. By declaring that, they are showing that we are independent of God, we don't depend on him. Like somebody told Prabhupada, when Prabhupada said, you are depending on God for like the crab, like the vegetables and fruits and everything. One man said, no, we don't eat vegetables, we only eat meat. Prabhupada said, even for eating meat, the animals require vegetables and fruits. I mean, vegetables and greenery and everything. The greenery cannot come without God giving the sunlight with which He absorbs the water and gives rain. So people want to say that we have done something on our own. We are independent of God. So, like, you know, people say that if something by nature gets rotten, we will keep it in a fridge so that it will not get rotten. But along with keeping in the fridge comes many problems also. Like one fellow purchased a piece from McDonald's. For 10 years it remained as it is. Can you imagine? Nothing happened to it. Like a bread we have, no? 10 years it appeared the same. So then he took it to a doctor and showed it. And doctor said it's in perfect condition. It's still edible, you can eat it. But then he asked the doctor, how is it? The doctor said they have put such big quantity of preservatives that it can remain for 10 years also without getting spoiled. And the doctor said, in the same manner when you put in your belly, it will remain as it is. It will not digest also. They have put so much preservatives. You see? So man is priding himself with having created such preservatives, but he also has created terrible problems because of that. So the living entity wants to independently enjoy in this world, as it is explained in the previous verses. He's very enthusiastic. See what words Krishna uses in the Bhagavad Gita 14th chapter. Lobha pravrittir arambha karmanam ashamaha spriha, he's saying. See, lobha means the greed. Greed for accumulating more and possessing more. And also going to new places, meeting new people, doing new things, and commencing new things. Arambha means actually entrepreneur or making a beginning of something, intense endeavor, he says. And pravrittir means activity. And ashamaha means uncontrollable spruha. Spruha means desire, uncontrollable desires. With these things, and in the 16th chapter later on, Krishna will give a long list. Kamamashritya dushpuram dhanamanamadanvitaha. He says, ashuchi vratav. Mohad grihitva asad grahan pravartante ashuchi vratav. He is saying, mohat grihitva asat grahat. See, asat means temporary. Sat means eternal. So, Prabhupada explains, eternal sensory activities is called devotional service. Temporary sense activities is called sense gratification. So, we can grasp something temporary or something eternal. So, if you grasp something temporary, we will get suffering. If you get something eternal, we will be blissful. So, asat grahat means catching of asat. And what is the catching of asat, as Krishna says here? Attraction for the opposite sex, attraction for honor, prestige, position, status. And in this way, popularity, fame, and intense greed and thirst for material success in this world. So this is actually the reason I took the passion related topics, because the Kali Yuga is in passion and ignorance, mostly. So, and you will be amazed to see, people are very enthusiastic in this world rather than understanding this world to be a place of suffering. You will find they are delighting in eating meat, drinking wine, watching movies, and delighting in the electronic gadgets that modern scientists are offering them, more and more. And then discarding God far away. I heard that recently, one Mr. Rao, who was given the Bharat Ratna Award, he spoke that generally in ISRO, Indian Space Research Organization in Bangalore, they would offer the model of the rocket or whatever to Balaji first, small model of that, and then they would take it, and then they would go for making the big size one. So, all the previous directors have been doing it. When this fellow became a director, he said, I am not going to offer it to Balaji first. What is the need? Hum log karte hain, to Bhagwan ko kyun laate hain beech mein? Kya Bhagwan sab karega? Humko khud karna padega sab kuch. So he has spoken like this in the paper and he was given the Bharat Ratna. So one devotee was commenting, here is an example of a big ass. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, that the more one becomes material educated, the more big ass one becomes. Biggest of the donkeys. And one is proving how one is a big donkey by denying God, by discarding God. And the achievement of Bharat Ratna has gone to his head. And one gets extremely proud. Dhanamana madanvitaha, Krishna says. One becomes very proud. And the same fellow you will find, you know, as the body gets old, he will be like passing stool and urine in the bed with tubes in his nose and all over the body, helplessly. And they don't understand the situation. How pathetic and how uncontrolled my situation is. They don't even understand. People are so proud just because he is sending some rocket and he got an award. You know, he has become intoxicated like a drunkard. You see? So this is due to passion. You know, the very first knowledge given in Bhagavad Gita is to know two things. You will find in the 14th chapter, 5th chapter also Bhagavad Gita. A person who truly sees is a person who sees that I am not in control of things. Everything is activated by the three modes in the material world. I am just seated in this body. But what is making this body act? The three modes. I am not acting. Just like an autopiloted plane. The driver has no job. Driver is just sitting and watching the dashboard. But it is autopiloted. Similarly, this whole material world is autopiloted by three modes. And they are making everybody act. The living entity has only one ability, which is to desire. After he expresses the desire, the material agency consisting of the three modes, she activates everything. Everything. And then sometimes one goes up, like in a giant wheel you see, you know, people go up. Sometimes people come down. There is another type of wheel. I don't know whether any of you have seen that. It is circular like this. And it has got even sometimes cars or sometimes some tigers or, you know, different animals kind of thing. Not real animals. I mean wooden. You know, they have like this. You know, it rotates like this. How many of you have sat in that? So you know what it is, right? Merry-go-round, yeah. That's called merry-go-round. So you can sit in your car. They have got this also, steering also. Correct? You can keep rotating it, but you are not in control. Correct, no? Another fellow in the center, he presses the button and it rotates. Go, boom, 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 boom. It just keeps going. So our material bodies are like that only. We can sit in this vehicle of the material body, but we are not in control of it. And it is controlled and activated by tamoguna, or rajoguna, or sattvaguna. Yeah, and these gunas ropes are in Maya Devi's hands. So she's controlling it. And then what are we doing? We are just sitting and expressing our desire. Just like sometimes a child goes with the parents to the hotel, and then even before parents open the menu chart, the child picks it up in the hand. You've seen that? Child opens and says, "Mom, I want ice cream. No, Mom, I want this item, that item." He just orders the menu, but he has no money in his pocket. Isn't it? So parents pay for it. Correct, no? He just makes the choice. Of course, the parents, although the child wants ice cream, parents don't give him. They know it's not good for him. They may give other items. They miss out some of the items the child may demand. Similarly, Krishna also will not sanction everything that we ask. Some items he will cancel out. And you may remember, and as I asked you, the Krishna said, okay, I remember it very well. Baad mein, abhi nahin. And he'll only give what is, you know, what we deserve. You know, he doesn't give what we desire, but he gives us what we deserve. Those items he may give. So we have no ability to fulfill our desires on our own. So that is why there is a beautiful verse in Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says, please you all repeat. Nanyam gunebhyah kartaram yada drashtanu pashyati. See, na anya gunebhyah kartaram. Na anya means nobody else is the actor in this world. Who is the actor? na anya gunebhya kartara. Only the three gunas are active in this world, he says. Yada drashta anupashyati, the real seer sees in parampara like this. You can see that the three modes are active in this world. They are making everybody dance like a puppet. Gunebhyascha param veti madbhavam sodhigacchati. So he's saying gunebhyascha param veti. The Supreme Lord is beyond the three gunas. And one who knows this, madbhavam sodhigacchati, he comes back to my spiritual abode. So some living entities are captured by the three modes and stuck in the material world. There are other living entities who understand that the Lord is transcendental. So by understanding and realizing that, and realizing that Lord is in control of the three modes also, because the material agent is insentient. Lord is sentient. So being insentient, how can the material nature act on the living entity? Because the insentient material nature is made to act by the Supreme Lord, who does not directly control the living entity, but through the agents of material nature, he controls the living entities. So we are under Maya, and Maya is under Krishna. That means, what is the meaning? A equal to B, B equal to C. That means, A equal to C, we say, no? We are under Maya, Maya's three modes, and Maya is under Krishna's control. That means, we are under, that's all, very simple. Those who know this, they surrender to Krishna. Why surrender to Maya, intermediate person? They surrender to Krishna completely. So, that is why here he is saying that. Gunebhyascha param veti madbhavam sodhi gacchati. Now, surrendering to Krishna is a big thing. That comes much later. Before that, those two steps have to come, which I told you. One should be tired of material world. What is the meaning of getting tired of material world? Again and again, we are doing the same old activities. In every life, we are eating, we are sleeping. Like once Prabhupada was telling in a lecture, every morning you get up, you have to bathe this body, whether you like or not. Because this body, all the nine holes of the body are throwing out dirty substances. If you don't clean the body, it will start stinking. Of course, in some countries, they don't take bath every day. Once in 2 weeks, they take bath. When it starts stinking very badly, probably others will tell them, hey, go and take bath now. But otherwise, this body is a dirty body. So, it's a humiliation upon the soul to be trapped in a material body like this and conditioned by these three modes. Just like we say, a room is air-conditioned, we say. That means the outside environment is having one temperature, but inside you condition the air to some other temperature. Correct, no? Like outside, if it is, say, 38 degrees, then inside the room you have 15 or 20. Correct, no? You're conditioning the air. Similarly, the soul in the spiritual sky is free. He is completely free, joyful. But in the material world, he is conditioned by this material body. He is trapped in this body and made to act in ways which he will not want to. Like one Prabhupada was meeting one of the devotees, who was a neophyte devotee, who was sometimes with devotee, sometimes outside. So one time when he came back, Prabhupada asked, what inspired you to go away? He said, I wanted to be free, he said. Prabhupada said, free for what? Free for getting old, diseased and die? He asked. You are only free for that in this world. What are we free for? Free to get old, free to get diseased and free to die. Other than that, you don't have freedom for anything. Just like graveyard is inviting everybody. Come, come. Come and sleep peacefully. Better. It's inviting all living entities. There is no discrimination between rich and poor, educated and uneducated, isn't it? American and Indian. Without any discrimination, everybody is welcome to graveyard. So similarly, everybody is welcome to become old. Everybody is welcome to get diseases in this material world. So material world is called as a condemned place. And we are coming to a condemned place to become happy. How foolish it will be. It is just like, sometimes near a railway station, you find a beautiful bungalow where they have put a board, abandoned. You've seen that? Some cracks are there. Imagine if a beggar thinks, such a beautiful house, nobody is living here. Let me peacefully sleep inside. If he sleeps inside, the whole thing will fall down. Is it not true? Already is written abandoned. Similarly, material world is an abandoned place. And somehow we have got into this metal world bungalow, abandoned bungalow. Any time it will fall. It's a very dangerous place. So Krishna says, before it falls you, quit the world. Bhagavad Dham Lord Chalo. That's why Krishna comes to tell us, don't try to, you know, make a peaceful settlement in the material world. Quit this material world. So intelligent are those souls who understand that the activities in the material world are all misery producing. Painful. But problem is what? In Rajoguna and Tamoguna, we cannot see misery as misery. Misery will be decoded as enjoyment. Very amazing. Like sometimes you go on the road, you see a drunkard lying after heavily drunk. He's screaming, catching his liver, catching his belly. So you know he is suffering, but he doesn't know he is suffering. He drinks more and more. Yeah, how horrible it is. Because in Tamaguna, people indulge in such kind of activities, crazy. Drinking and smoking and all these activities. They are absorbed in illusion. Pramad, Alasya, Nidra. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, they are mad, lazy, and sleeping 12 hours, 15 hours a day. People live just like two-legged animals, Tamaguna. Similarly, in Rajoguna, see, Tamaguna is called helpless. And Rajoguna means active. And Sattaguna means happy. So three things Prabhupada explains. Happy, active and helpless. Or Prabhupada says that like in the Tamaguna, helpless and foolish, he says. Similarly, Rajoguna means, he says, active. Is of course he is active, but his active is out of greed. His intense endeavor is out of greed for material enjoyment, which actually burns his heart. That activity burns his heart. And in the Sattvaguna, they are happy and attached also. Because Sukham Badnati, you know, and then he says, Jnana, Jnanam and Sukham, both are binding. Because sometimes a man in this world also, you know, some people, I remember in those days, one family used to come to one of our programs. They just came for 1 or 2 weeks and they stopped. And then I made a phone call to them, why you are not coming? So they were saying that, you know, we go to the slums and we give some old clothes to them. You know, also we do some annadan, charity. We have been doing it for many years. So some people, they do a little bit of some selfless social service, which gives them some feeling of being good. It makes them feel that I am also doing good and I am not harming anybody. I am doing something good for the people. You know, we give chocolates to school children, we give uniforms to school children, we give notebooks to school children, or we do this type of service. So there are many good-natured people in Rotary Club and Lions Club. There are many good people. They are not looting the public for their own pockets. They're doing something good. But that good is not going to get them anywhere. Because on a spiritual platform, they are not even making 1 inch progress. They will be stuck in this world, although being good. But the Sattvaguna that is being spoken in Bhagavad Gita is not that type of goodness. It is a goodness where one knows, I am not the body, I am the soul. But one does not actually pursue beyond that. It is not enough. That's why you will find Krishna in the 14th chapter, after talking about all the modes, and 14.26, he is giving a solution. How we can rise above the three modes? And that is very important when Arjuna asks the question. So there he quotes that famous verse. Mam chayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhujaya kalpate. See, the chapters 13 to 18 is called as the Jnana Yoga. And chapter 1 to 6 is Karma Yoga, correct? And chapter 6 to 12 is Bhakti Yoga. But even in the Jnana Yoga chapters, Krishna is bringing Bhakti. Mam chayo avyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate. Which means, see, one doing Nishkama Karma Yoga has to give up Nishkama Karma Yoga to go to Jnana Yoga. But one cannot progress in Jnana Yoga without a pinch of addition of bhakti. Jnana yogi cannot make any progress. He needs little bhakti also. And then one can come to full bhakti later. So he's saying avyabhicharini bhakti, which means one has to unfailingly do devotional service. He says, what is that? Like one time, Prabhupada was telling that if devotees fall down from spiritual life to irreligious activities, they will become animals in the next life. So then some devotee asked, Prabhupada, you said, Neha Bikarmana Ashosti Pratyavayana Vidyate Salpam Apesa Dharmasya Sahita Mahatvabhayat, we will never get animal body. Now you are saying they will get animal body. Prabhupada said, no, you find in Vrindavan many dogs and pigs loitering here and there. Who are they? They are all yogis. They are all yogis and devotees who lived in Vrindavan, but who fell prey to illicit sex or who broke down their regulative principles. Sometimes some widows come to Vrindavan for taking shelter because they have no other shelter. Sometimes some men go to Vrindavan in the name of becoming Radhakund Babaji's, but then not studying the Shastra, not surrendering to the Guru, not following the path of pure spiritual life, they become again materially attached without developing true detachment. So they fall down by illicit connection. The result is they become pigs or dogs in Vrindavan. You will see that. And they have to spend some lifetimes suffering in those animal bodies. But only fortune is they are pigs in the ditches of Vrindavan. Or they are dogs which are rolling in the dust of Vrindavan. That's the only good fortune. Because they did some dham seva, they are allowed to live in the dham as animals. So in this way, Bharat Maharaj also became a deer after doing some bhakti. But he was becoming a deer who could remember his past, which was a great fortune for him. Nalakur Manigiri also could remember. That kind of trees and deers are rare to see by some benediction of the Lord. So that is why Krishna says, Mam chayo avyabhicharena bhakti, he's saying. One should do unfailing bhakti. One should not fall down in the path of bhakti. Once having taken to bhakti, one should go on and on. Because when a thief is caught, he is put behind the bars. Imagine if a police is caught stealing, then they will get a bigger punishment, no? Because the police is wearing police dress. And imagine he is found to be robbing a bank. Similarly, a devotee is enlightened by the wisdom of the Shastras, by the association of devotees, and one should not fall down. And then if one performs avyabhicharini bhakti, then what Krishna says? Sagunan samati taitan, by going beyond his three gunas, ropes, brahma bhuyaya kalpate. Now when Arjuna heard this question, heard this point, he might have asked the question. Krishna, you are saying that a devotee attains Brahman platform. A devotee is interested in, you know, seeing the beautiful form of Shamsundar. And then immediately Krishna tells the next verse, Brahmanohi Pratishtaham, he says. Isn't it? I am the basis of that Brahman, Arjuna. That means I am the source of that Brahman. Which means, coming to Brahman platform means, na shochati, na kankshati. And then, tata mana apamana you also. No mana apamana you see. No Shita Ushna, no Shoka. You see the stone and gold to be same. You don't see any difference. So one becomes equipoised, Pandita Samadarshinaha, see every living entity to be equal. In that platform, that is called Brahman platform. And when one does bhakti further, more and more, then one comes to the point where one will do everything only for Krishna's sake. For nobody else. Only for Krishna, Krishnarthi Akhila Cheshta, it is called. Any cheshta I do, it's only for Krishna. Like one time Prabhupada was sitting in a room. And it was a very hot sunny day. You know, your devotee came into the room. You know, Prabhupada told like this. He did like this. And then the devotee opened the window. Prabhupada showed the fan like this. And he put on the fan. And after that he sat and Prabhupada spoke many things regarding printing his books and everything. So then the devotee later on gave a purport. He said, for his own body, Prabhupada would speak very little. See, for putting on the fan, he said, please kindly switch on the fan. How much time gets wasted in saying that? Can you kindly open that window, please? So many words are also wasted, time is also wasted. So, that's all. You show action like this. Because for my body, I will not spend much time and energy. But for printing books which are going to glorify Krishna, I will spend unlimited time. That's what Prabhupada thought, you see. So Krishna Artha Akhila Cheshta, not Madarte Akhila Cheshta. Not for my sense gratification, only for Krishna. So in this way, a devotee's life is centered around Krishna. All his activities. And then Krishna says that actually the best way to rise above the three modes is to become very active in Krishna's service. So the three modes will evaporate completely. They have no power to act on a devotee who is situated in Krishna consciousness. Actively in Krishna consciousness. So this is a month which is my book distribution marathon month. Prabhupada said book distribution is samadhi. One place Prabhupada says. Samadhi, generally we think the word samadhi means sit in one place with closed eyes. Oh, you know, like a yogi baba. People, that is samadhi people think. The actual meaning of the word samadhi means one pointed attention on the supreme. That's the meaning of samadhi. And if anybody is distributing books, like one devotee was telling, when I carry Prabhupada books and when I go to the marketplace, I can see all the shlokas coming into life. He said, I am seeing the huge buildings, fast cars moving here and there. Everything immediately comes to my mind. Krishna says, Bhumi Rapo Analavaji Kammano Buddhi Revacha Ahankari Tiyame Binna Prakritrashta. This is my material Prakriti, Krishna says. When I return to temple, I see the Gopuram. This is spiritual world, Antaranga Shakti. I see like that. So he said, all the shlokas of Bhagavad Gita actually come to life when you go for book distribution. And you can see the hand of Krishna in your life very prominently when we serve Krishna. Our dependence on Krishna, helpless attitude towards Krishna becomes awakened when we go for book distribution amongst the people who are disinterested in spiritual life by persuading them to take Krishna. So the only way we can rise above the gunas is to take shelter of the Mayadish Krishna. We are Maya Vash. Krishna is Mayadish. He is the master of Maya. By taking his shelter, then we also can be relieved from Maya. There is no alternative. That is why Krishna clearly says that Gunebhyascha Param Veti Madbhavam Sa Adigacchati. So this is a 14th chapter verse I told you now. But if you go to the 15th chapter, it's called Purushottam Yoga, where Krishna explains how the soul is depending on Krishna completely. In those verses, Yat Aditya Gatam Tejo Jagat Bhasaya Tekhilam Yat Chandramasiya Chagno Tattejo Vidyamamakam. Beginning from this verse, explaining about the sun, the moon, how he becomes a Vaishwanar. In the Manipuraka Chakra, there is one super soul also who becomes the digester of the food. Somebody can cook food and give you, but Krishna says, I not only give you fruits and vegetables, but I also digest them when you put in the belly. So Krishna is talking about our helpless dependence on him in the Purushottam Yoga. Similarly, further if you go in the later verses, Krishna explains about the Sambandha Abhideya Prayojan in those verses, last few verses of the 15th chapter. Very important verses. Yo mameva asammudho janati purushottamam sa sarvavit bhajati mam sarvabhavena bharata. In this verse, he says we have to have a clear vision of Krishna. Yo mameva asammudho. Prabhupada once told a devotee, why do they draw pictures of Radha and Krishna in a very sensuous manner? Ask them to draw a picture of Krishna from whom all the universes are emanating. And how he is controlling all the universes. That picture you find, you know, Krishna in Goloka and below Mahavishnu lying and all the universes coming. So this is the first understanding one should get. Krishna is in control of material world as well as three modes. And my body is in control of Krishna actually. Jagat Vash. Jagat Vashi Vartate Idam. Krishna Sahasra Characharam. So when we know Krishna is in control, I am not in control, we become humble. That's the first step. As I told you, the toy, what is that? Merry-go-round. We are not in control. Whenever that fellow switches on, we will have to rotate. When he switches off, you know, we relax. Our steering has no meaning at all. Huh? Similarly, this material body is not in my control. So this is something we can tangibly see in this world. So you see, Indian cricket team is practicing how to play cricket nicely. Today, if they break their leg, tomorrow if there is a match, can they go for the match? Then they will have to put that, what you call that? Imagine if they broke the leg, one of the cricket stars broke his leg today. What they put in their leg? Plaster? Yeah, they put a plaster, they'll be bedridden practically for 2 months or 3 months. So, if he is in control, why don't he set the bone right immediately and go for playing the match tomorrow? Because we are not in control. So, this is the first step in wisdom, to see that his material body is offered by Krishna. As he says here, in the 14th chapter beginning, he says, Madbrahma garbham dadamyaham, he says. I give the garbham for this, in this material world. And then he says, Tasam brahma mahat yonir aham bija pradahapita. I look at the spiritual world and then I pick up those rebellious souls and I plant them into the material world. Simply I move them from spiritual world to material world and I put them inside. It's called saha aikshataha saha asrijata. Asrijata means I create the material world. Aikshata means I see the souls. By my glance, I move them into the material world. Now all of us are put inside the material world. This is material world. Material panchamahabhut, inside which we are trapped now. So Krishna only has put us in this body. And he only can liberate us if we surrender to him. That's why he says, Mamevye prapadyante maya metam tarantite. So in this way, Krishna has beautifully taught the situation of the living being in this material world. So the summary of this verse is this, that the living entity should become a proper seer. The real meaning of becoming a seer, drashta, means what? To see that my body is made up of material nature and it is controlled by the three modes. I am seated in this body like a baby. Now I cannot do anything on my own. The soul is sitting in this body. I can only desire. But my desires are ultimately sanctioned by Krishna or not sanctioned by Krishna according to his desire. And then Krishna, if he sanctions it, he orders the material agent Maya Devi to fulfill my desires through the agency of three modes. And the three modes fulfill our desire. Rajaguna, Tamaguna, Sattvaguna. They are the providers for the jiva. That's why Prakriti Jan Gunan. He says, no, Purusha Prakriti, Stohi Bhungte Prakriti Jan. Prakriti Jan means, from the three modes are born many, many enjoyments in this world, which are all false enjoyments. They are not true enjoyments. But because the living entity wants false enjoyment, is provided. With one example, I'll conclude the class. This thought was just passing my mind a couple of days ago. So I thought I will share with you. How many of you have drunk fruity? You know fruity? Oh, everybody has fruity experience. So this fruity, once when I was drinking fruity in my college days, during my BTEC days, I enjoyed it so much. It was such a nice mango. It was 1, 2, 3 fruity packets we took. And then the fruity outside was written, contains no fruit juice or fruit pulp. And I was surprised. If it contains no fruit juice, how is it so tasty? So then I went and asked our chemistry, you know, teacher. So the chemistry teacher, she was telling that, do you know what it is? The fruit is made up of starch. She said, you know starch? Starch means kanji. In rice, if you put water in the previous night, next day morning what comes out, that liquid is called kanji, you call it, you know. That's called starch. So it is only starch. I said, starch is white. She said, yes, it is white, but they have put a yellow color to look like a mango, so that it look like mango pulp. Because mango pulp is also viscous, no? So starch is also viscous. But then I said, starch is not so tasty. Yeah, they have put little one drop of mango flavor acid. It's an acid, just like rasna is acid, you know. You see in rasna bottle, small one, in one bottle you can make 50 glasses. Many people in homes think, oh, how wonderful it is. buy a small rasna bottle and keep at home. Any guests come, just make 50, you know, glasses and distribute. But it's so deadly for the body. So they put one drop of this acid in a fruity, and then it looks like mango. It tastes like mango, but it is not mango. That's why the right outside, in small letters, contains no fruit juice or fruit pulp. Just imagine. But we all know what is mango. Real mango is there. So real mango is nourishing. But fruity mango is perishing. It only causes to perish. It kills our body very quickly. Taking such kinds of artificial items with all preservatives and everything. Dirty. But such a amazing maya it is that they make you think it is mango juice. Looks like mango, tastes like mango juice. Just see. One of my friends, one of the days, of course I had given up drinking fruity. Once I heard this, then I never wanted the starch in drinking. I said, why should I cheat myself? I'll better go to a shop and buy a real mango and eat it. You know? But one day my friend was drinking, and then they had put a cut, it was put. So he cut it like this. When he opened it, he found a worm inside. Oh, that was the last day he gave up drinking fruity also after that. Yeah. So, in this way, Maya also cheats us like this. Real mango is like Krishna. When you get Krishna in your life, it's like eating real mango. Real happiness, real ananda. But Maya gives artificial sukh. You know, temporary sukh, perishable sukh, pathetic sukh, cheating sukh it gives. Just like for a child, what is nourishing to a child? Drinking mother's breast milk. That is very nourishing. But sometimes they give this pacifier to a child. You know what is pacifier? It keeps doing like this, you know? They put it in the mouth. So the child goes to sleep. No, now I got my mother's nipple. But he doesn't get any nourishment. So Maya's pleasures are like pacifier only. She is temporarily pacifies you by cheating you. By giving something temporary. So if you want fruity and pacifier, you'll be in this material world only. But if you want real nourishment, then the real happiness is the spiritual platform. But only thing is, one should open the eyes to see that we are being cheated by Maya in this world. If we don't see that we are being cheated by this material, because Prakriti Jan Guna, Prakriti Jan means all these pleasures are born of three modes only. They cannot make us happy. The happiness is born of Tamaguna, Rajaguna, Sattuguna, cannot give happiness to soul, because the soul is Chidvastu. It is not Jadapadartha. A Chidvastu cannot enjoy Jadapadartha. It is just impossible. And another thing, energy cannot enjoy energy. Energy has to be enjoyed by the energetic. Who is energetic? I think some are doubtful, I think. Who is energetic?
Krishna.
Yeah, Krishna. And who is energy? All of us. We are called energy, no? We are called what Shakti? Tatastha Shakti. Radharani is also Shakti. So all the Shakti should be enjoyed by whom? Shaktiman. Now we are Shakti, and material world is also Shakti. Can Shakti enjoy Shakti? Shakti cannot enjoy Shakti. Shakti has to be enjoyed by Shaktiman. Yes, Shakti can enjoy Shakti when in illusion. Fruity. That kind of enjoyment. You cannot get real enjoyment. It is just not possible. Then the real enjoyment will come by giving happiness to Shaktiman. Then there is a reciprocation from Shaktiman. Then there is happiness. Then only there is happiness. Just like the Vedic life, a husband and wife, when they get married and settled, a wife is submissive and husband is gentle and spiritually advanced, then it is a very nice combination. Then the wife is joyful to serve the husband. Like I would see my mother would be serving my father and she would be fanning, sitting next to him. It was such a nice sight to see. She had a sense of servitude like this. And she's very happy and joyful in that position of being a servant. She doesn't want to become equal to my father or better than my father. But imagine if a wife says, why should I serve my husband? I will also wear pant and shirt and look like my husband. Prabhupada says sometimes the women also wear pant and shirt to show that they are equal to man. Yes, they can become, you know, they can imagine themselves to be equal. But the home cannot be a happy home. Only the board may be there, home sweet home. Board is not enough. For the home to really become happy, husband should be spiritually advanced and wife should be submissive. That's a good combination for them to be happy. Similarly, Krishna is the boss and we are das. If the das serves the boss, there is happiness. Otherwise, if the das want to become boss on a boss, then the result is suffering only. Just like Duryodhana is sitting near the head of Krishna, and Arjuna is sitting near Krishna's feet. As soon as he got up, Krishna saw whom? Arjuna, yeah. And Arjuna naturally got Krishna's love and affection. And Duryodhana was sitting near Krishna's head, which was like he was trying to use Krishna for his own purposes by wanting to dance on Krishna's head. Whereas Arjuna wants to serve Krishna, you see. So, this is a very foundational principle that Prabhupada has thoroughly brought out in all his purports. And if this truth is assimilated, that I am actually controlled by Maya, instead of being controlled by Maya, why not be controlled by Krishna? Because controlled by Maya means like a police removing the belt and whipping us. That kind of control is useless. Rather, imagine if a mother is slapping you, my dear child, you study properly, don't play all day. That slap is better than the police whipping with the belt, isn't it? So Mayadevi is whipping everybody in this world. And they are also saying wonderful. Like Prabhupada says, sometimes he donkey is running after a she donkey, and the she donkey with her hind leg gives a kick on his face, and the he donkey is laughing. He's laughing. How beautifully she is kicking, He's enjoying the kick. Already his chin is bleeding. But he's laughing. Similarly, Mayadevi is kicking everybody and people are delighting in Maya in this world. You see? How crazy, But on the other hand, when one takes shelter of Krishna, there is real shelter. Mameveye prapadyante mayame tanta. Mantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Kaur Bhaktavinda ki. Actually, one devotee told me, Prabhuji, take care to finish the class before 9:15. Today is Dwadashi day. One devotee told me. So I finished 1 minute before 9:15. Now all devotees, one question of Karnataka Prabhu will take. Others who are hungry for prasad can push off.
Prabhuji, we find that we are battered by Maya's waves. And we find that we have heard from Guru. We have read in scriptures. But still, and like one devotee was asking me, and we are told, you can engage things in Krishna's service.
Yes.
So that becomes a big catch.
Ah.
Many times, at our stage, we try to engage and we get caught.
Yes.
So you're saying that this battering just goes on. And even if devotees, we find committing mistakes sometimes. Mm-hmm. So they end up handling something or doing things, thinking that I'll engage. But then, so what is the solution?
See, engaging Maya in Krishna's service is Uttam Adhikari's job. Vishnur Maya Midam Pashyan Savai Bhagavatottamah. That verse says, Grihitva api indriyairartan jo nadveshti na hrishyati. Vishnur Maya Midam Pashyan Savai Bhagavatottamah. This verse says, Grihitva. A pure devotee can take Maya and engage in Krishna's service. Okay, now we can also follow in the footsteps of a pure devotee and engage things in Krishna's service. But the pure devotee should be consulted. Why? Because they can tell us that to what degree can we engage Maya in Krishna's service? Because we all have an ability to use small forms of Maya to be engaged in Krishna's service. But when we go for bigger forms of Maya to engage, it can be very risky for us. That's one reason why we emphasize a lot on simplicity for brahmacharis. Because when we adopt simplicity, it is very easy to keep away from Maya. But when we go for, like I'll tell you a simple example. If we have electronic gadgets which are very costly, which even grihasthas don't have, then sometimes grihasthas have to consult brahmacharis. Prabhuji, what is the new model you are having? Can you kindly enlighten us? you have to enlighten them from Bhagavad Gita or about some new model mobile or something. Sometimes grihasthas say, Prabhuji, the new model car or the new model mobile you are talking about, even we have not heard. They say like that. Brahmacharis are up to date sometimes. So, that is why we find that in this world, we find the more costly things we handle, it goes to our head. It's very risky. Because it's like some kind of jadu, no? Like a mystic, you know, mystic powers. You know, you have a lot of control in your hands. Some 15 things you can do with a mobile nowadays. Is it not true? So many things people do with that. You can send emails, you know, you can click photos, you know, you can have a calendar, you have diary, you have this, you have so many things. Huh? And you can also use it as a phone also, huh? Which was originally intended purpose. Huh? So, one thing is, actually by keeping our life simple, we disempower Maya from weakening us. Maya will be wondering, how to catch this fellow? He's not using anything of my products. Prakriti Jan Guna is not using. He is only Krishna Jan he's using. Like, you know, you take Krishna's garland, keep smelling it. You take Krishna's tilak and you put in. You take Krishna's kantimala tulasi and you put in. You take Krishna Prasad and you put in. Maya is wondering, are this fellow Krishna Krishna only always? I am providing so many things and this fellow is not touching. Yeah. And Maya Devi is trying to give so many products and devotee kicks away all the products. Like, you know the story of Jagannathas Babaji. Somebody gave him a coin. He took that coin and he went almost 10 kilometers ahead. Then he told his servant Bihari, take a U-turn. And went back and gave back the coin to that fellow who gave him. He said, right now there is no expenditure for Krishna right now. So better you take it back. That fellow said, if it is not there right now, you can keep it for future. No, no, no. Future, what will I do with this money? I don't know. Better you take it back. You know? So a devotee should not accumulate more than what is absolutely necessary for Krishna's service. And we take it in one hand and use it in Krishna's service and we don't hold it for ourselves. So simplicity is one easiest way to, you know, escape from Maya's clutches. Of course, the simplicity can also cause pride that I am very simple. I am a Kaupin Baba. No? I live only under trees. Except Kaupin, I have no other possessions. That also can make one proud. So two things. Strictness in sadhana and simplicity combined with humble service attitude. These two things can make a devotee very strong. He is saying, aapse prarthna hai ki hindi mein kaksha diya kare. Hame aapko sunne ki bahut ichha hai, par hum angrezi nahi aati. Prabhuji, हमारी प्रार्थना सुनिए, आप गौरंग सभा की कक्षा भी यहाँ हिंदी में दीजिए. ठीक है, हिंदी में देंगे कभी, हैं? अगले क्लास हिंदी में देंगे. ठीक है, जय शिल्पपाद की, गौर भक्त वृंद की. नेक्स्ट, थैंक यू. एक्चुअली वन मोर थिंग आंसर टू कर्नाटक प्रभु क्वेश्चन इज लाइक गुड्स ट्रेन यू हैव सीन यू पुट अ सडन ब्रेक. If you put a brake here, the goods train will stop there, some 30 feet ahead. Similarly, even after wearing tilak and kantimala and chanting Hare Krishna, eating prasad, drinking charanamrit, dancing in front of the Lord and doing services for Him, sometimes devotees wonder, why my old habits are revisiting again and again. The answer to this question is given in 11th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam and Uddhava Gita, Lord Krishna speaking to Uddhava. He is telling Uddhava, my dear Uddhava, sometimes my devotee falls prey to old tendencies and habits. And when they fall prey, they pitiably cry. And they fall at my feet again and again, saying that, Krishna, I want to become your devotee. I don't want to be sold out to Maya. But I have fallen prey to Maya again, once more. Please forgive me. In this way, I awaken repentance in the heart of my devotees. And in such repentance, they become humble. They take my shelter more. And their devotion service becomes accelerated. And then they come one more step closer to me. And then it's only a matter of time, such devotee who sincerely repents, completely can abstain from all bad tendencies at one point of time and become totally pure. Like that Krishna says in the 11th canto. So if any of the practicing devotees, we fall prey to old tendencies and habits, we should never become disheartened. Because, no, just like in an ink bottle, you put water, everything becomes bluish. You throw it, again you put water, it becomes bluish again. You know, as long as some blueness is there, it will keep happening until the water becomes transparent. Similarly, there are impurities in our heart. Sometimes you are chanting Hare Krishna, dirty thoughts come in mind. You wonder, hey, I am chanting the holy name and how can such dirty thoughts come? Because it's coming out from the heart, Krishna is cleaning it. When the heart is being cleaned, you see the dirt coming out. So one has to be very, very patient. And one should not make any hasty decision of taking a U-turn from spiritual life. One should stay stable and continue repenting and praying to Krishna and go on and on. Then only one will achieve ultimate success. Hare Krishna.